All right, back here on OMF, we've been talking about Tom Brady and, of course, on Paul Rudd's living with yourself.
Living with yourself?
Yeah, whatever. Same thing, right? Also. That's what happened in there. And the reaction it's having across the country, which is pretty amazing. And you just heard the breaking news, and that is that the Celtics, they had till 5 p.m. today to sign Jaylen Brown, or then he becomes a restricted free agent. They got it done, according to Maway. But all I'm telling you is that by doing this, Danny Ainge, and they obviously love the player right now, and hopefully the player's going to have a great year. But it's one of those contracts where it gives you a big salaried guy who's not a max contract guy who's not living up to max, in which you can deal him away down the road. It is a very tradable contract down the road. It's one of those deals.
Yeah.
So it works
so
out
So it serves
perfectly.
Two purposes.
Yes.
No, do you like it? Yes or no?
I like it. Yeah,
so do I. And if you're a Jaylen Brown guy, then of course. And even if you're a Celtics fan and somehow you kind of grow sour on Jaylen Brown, I think the ability to ship him off to somewhere else for someone who maybe will appreciate him if that time comes, I think this contract is doable.
So this is a great day for Celtics basketball.
So I know people are going to jump all over it, the fact that we're talking trade, but does anybody believe that the way the Celtics are presently constituted is a championship team? I don't. Okay,
no,
so
you hit on it.
So what you're looking at now is a team that might have some of the elements of a championship team. Tatum could be that. Brown could be that. We'll see with Haywood. Kemba Walker. But is it enough? I don't think it's enough. And so, therefore, you're going to go through this season. You're going to find out how this group works together. And then if you're Danny Ainge, you're going to have to look at it, and especially if I'm right and their interior defense sucks as badly as I think it might, you're going to need somebody to be a rim protector, are you not? You can't just let guys like the Greek Freak just take it to the hoop every single time and nobody get a body in his way.
I still think it comes down to how does Jaylen play with Tatum, Hayward, Kemba? Is someone coming off the bench? Like, now all of a sudden, would Jaylen Brown be okay being the sixth man? Got paid.
Easier to do
right?
it now,
yes.
Lou.
No, the whole thing of like, hey, now. Man, like we talked about Tatum and Brown, like, you know, they're trying to announce their presence, you know, in the league. We're trying to get paid. You know, this is what these guys are doing right now.
No, the answer is yes.
So, yeah, Jaylen Brown all of a sudden
role,
now becomes.
You're all in. Yep.
Mentally, a guy that's all in.
Marcus Smart was the same way. And the question is now, and I think, you know, Gordon Hayward doesn't need anything.
Gordon Hayward, Marcus Smart, Kemba Walker.
It's Tatum. Tatum's the only guy, yeah. And he's younger, so it's a different situation.
I think it helps.
Last year,
you had Tatum and you had Brown that were in this, like, you know, I'm an all-star. You know, I got to get paid. You had Kyrie, who's a free agent. You had Al, who's going to be a free agent. Now, all of a sudden, you look around and you say, really, it's just Tatum.
You know what? I'll say this. And I would say the other guys who have been paid or there's no jealousy anymore are more willing to help Tatum achieve his goals, yes. Knowing that they have already achieved theirs.
Yeah, I would agree.
All right, I think that's a big part of just the fellowship that didn't exist last year.
But if it's not working, you know, that's one thing we always talked about. They don't. That's why we always talked about Al Horford's contract. You know, it's very, very tradable. When you got to go get a big money guy, and you don't have the contracts. You know, you only had guys that were making $6 million and $7 million. Well, how the hell do you trade a guy that's making $30 million? Now you've got that guy, if it ever comes to that. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But, I mean, now you have that big contract to trade and get that one big piece that's making $30 million. You know what I mean? Now you got the salary for salary.
Yeah, it's the only way you can do business if you're playing above the cap. If you're playing with above the cap and you're not under that cap, this is the only way you can
play. So between Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward,
yes.
You actually have a couple deals.
Correct.
Couple contracts that you could use.
Yeah. And again, I'm not sure that you have the complete package right now to go out there and to compete for a championship. You know, I actually think you're probably going to take a slight step back, maybe even where you were a year ago and people were, you know, disappointed in a year ago. But at least you've got the flexibility. So interesting deal. Again, Jaylen Brown agrees to a 4-year, $115 million contract.
Yay, Celts!
All right, let's get to some phone calls here, and then we'll get to Manish Mehta.
Manish?
It's Manish, I believe. Manish. Manish.
Yes. Okay.
Why don't you call him Manish? I'll call him Manish, and we'll see
what is Lou going to call him?
Manish.
I think it is Manish.
I feel like if you say them all fast enough, they all sound the same.
Charlie's in a car. We'll do that. Charlie.
Hey.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Hey, back to the Brady cameo there. So if he's acting on a green screen.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No,
okay. I know.
No.
But if he's acting with a green screen, and this was written 4 years ago, I know that things can change, but how. I just don't see him calling him and saying, hey, by the way, we're doing a day spa. I know that happened with your owner. You know what I mean? Like, maybe he had no say in that, especially if it was a green screen when he was acting in front of it.
So you think he just did this scene, and then when the show came up, he's like, oh, my God, I can't believe they used a day spa. Like, I thought I was going to be in front of a cloning store.
I know he's, like, a big star and everything, but it's just a cameo, like, maybe they didn't think to call him. I don't know. Maybe they, because they're not as attached to the Patriots as he is, obviously. Maybe they didn't realize the connection there. And
I just hold on. I know they're all kind of related and close somehow. These types of transactions aren't done over text between two buddies. They're not done over text between two buddies. Hey, what time you want me to show up? Why don't you show up around 3? If you've ever been on a movie set, Glenn, I know you have been. It's always about hurry up and wait. So
it's a lot of waiting.
Nothing ever happens on time. So you're telling me, hey, they're going to have Tom Brady and they're going to have him sit around for what literally lasts for three words. First time, 6. That's it.
No, I guess he probably got priority and they probably didn't force him to wait for a long period of time.
Get the camera ready. Yeah. That's what they were doing.
The one thing I would say, though, is it wouldn't surprise me at all if Greenberg was not giving him all of the details of all of this, because he's talking now, and the way he's talking, he's a Jets fan, by the way. The way he's talking, he's claiming he thought Brady was going to back out once Brady realized the connection with the spa, and Brady did not back out.
Huh.
I'm not sure that he was totally forthright in sitting there and reminding him. Maybe he didn't get the individual shots of the tape, his takes during this. Because he was fearful. He admitted he was fearful Brady was going to pull out of the project. I think that's a possibility. John's in Natick next up. Hey, John.
Hi, I'm here.
Go ahead, John.
I have a very different take on this. I'm thinking Brady knew exactly what he was doing, but he did it to be like, hey, I'm just like Kraft. Like, instead of making fun of him, he's just saying, hey, it's no big deal. It's like everybody goes to these things. That's why when he said to the news, like, you make everything bad, that's what he was talking about.
Okay. Yeah.
You buying that?
No, I'm not buying that at all. Anybody else buying that?
You would think if that were the case, wouldn't he come out and say, yeah, I'm trying to make light. Come on. It's not that big a deal. That would be defending Kraft by basically kind of squashing that story by saying, come on, was it really that big a deal? And I don't think he said any of that, has he?
We talk about that later?
See, again, the biggest problem starts at the beginning of it, where the question was asked, and it was, what were you thinking? From then on,
from Dan.
Off the rails, yep, off the rails, defensive.
What were you thinking?
What are you talking about? What are you trying to imply? What are you suggesting?
I agree.
Do you think I
agree.
Okay, we never got to find out what the real
questions.
Issue was. Yeah, we'll find out
tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning, hopefully, Greg Hill. We'll get the real questions. Maybe we'll have someone call in and ask him. I don't know. But still, it'll be when did you see the final cut of this segment before it was aired? Did you see it? If the answer is yes, then, which I believe it is, I find it hard to believe it isn't, then I'd get issues with it. And then it would be, maybe not in that tone, but didn't you think that it's just sort of poking fun at the situation of your owner, of Robert?
Yeah.
If he says no, it'd be like, what were you thinking? What do you mean no? Why would you ever put yourself in this situation? No? You didn't see the final cut? You didn't know what this was? You just showed up and they said, hey, do this scene. Thanks for coming. You didn't ask questions about what am I walking out of?
By the way,
if
Greg's listening, that is not the right approach. That is the approach that Dan Housley took on Saturday, and it did not work with Brady. I would ask Brady to put it into context so that we understand the timeline, what he knew, what he did not know, because he's claiming that we're all taking it out of context. And he might be right, but he's got to explain what the context is. Laurie is in Springfield. What is going on here?
I don't know.
We're in music hold. Here's Larry. Larry's in Dartmouth. Hello, Larry.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
You know,
I'm doing okay. Guys, you know what? I want to bring up Housley. Brady gets a round of applause for coming back at Housley, okay? There's a political hat, okay? And I'm going to tell you what I mean about that, okay? I'm going to tell you what I mean about him being a political hat. This guy has come forward and, of course, is saying the Brady connection with Brady, Belichick, okay, and Kraft and Trump, okay? And there's no hiding that because Channel 7, we know, is so political, okay? They're in bed with the Boston Globe, okay, going over to Bob Holler, okay? Every time they show up, it's not to ask a football question. Do we agree with that?
Yes. They're perfect. Okay. They're not, and that's not their intent. Dan Housley is not part of the sports department. He's part of the news department. And in this case, it is a news story because Tom Brady is the biggest sports celebrity in this town.
Glenn, I understand. And now here's my point. I think he did a lazy job. He showed he's a lazy reporter by not investigating. And it's not hard to find out the 20-year relationship between Brady and Kraft.
Yeah, but you're asking him to make an opinion right now, and that's not what he's going to do.
Yeah, but here's the other thing. We all agree that maybe he handled it the wrong way, but when you say he didn't do his job, everyone's talking about him.
He did his job.
Sometimes we got to understand what his job is.
Right.
Lou, he's you think his employer accused him of something he,
Larry,
he has
Larry,
he
again,
hasn't done.
Sometimes you got to understand what their job is. You think Channel 7 sitting there saying, Dan, I can't believe that. I can't believe you asked that question the way you did. Now everyone is talking about you. And we don't appreciate that as a media outlet. We don't like it when everyone's talking about our employees. Do you really think he didn't do his job?
No, I don't think he did his job at all. I think his
employer gave him a pat in the back. Great job.
I think he did other intentions. Just like this moron showed up during Deflategate accusing this guy of something he didn't do. He doesn't know jack squat about football. What even goes...
Yeah, but Larry, what he did is he got under Brady's skin, and he got exactly what he wanted out of this. So he did his job. My issue with Brady is he didn't handle it well in this situation. And usually he does. He's the best I've ever seen at being able to handle all of this stuff. And yet he got so pissed because people were accusing him of something he does not believe he did, that he kind of lost it. And instead, he accused the media of taking him out of context when he never put any of this in context. He's got to do that right now to straighten it out. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about the game. There is a game tonight. We will talk a little bit about the Jets and the Patriots, and we'll get the New York perspective as well. That's all coming up next right here on OMF.
Their defense is good. They have been all year, but you know, just like any other team, they're not unbeatable. So we just got to go out there, find the weakness in the defense, and keep working it. So that's what we're going to do on Monday night. Our whole team's super excited to play, too. We're excited to go out there. We had a good practice today. We're just looking to build off of that.
Sam Darnold with a pretty innocent comment. I mean, he's just basically plugging his own guys, you know, we can do this or whatever. And yet, you know, it's bulletin board material.
It is?
And when the game is
already
over.
Is.
Yeah, when the game is over, you know, the Patriots will sit there and say, who the hell's this kid think he is or whatever. Manish Mehta of the New York Daily News joins us. Let me read you his latest tweet. I can sense Patriot fans are getting nervous about tonight. Mm-hmm. Their uneasiness is warranted. Manish, I would say you're probably right. I wouldn't say nervous, but should be a competitive game, right? No?
I think so. The 9.5-point line is absurd. I thought it was ridiculous when it came out. It's a fourth-quarter game, in my estimation. And it comes down to, you know, who's going to make the play when it counts. Obviously, the Patriots have the one player who has proven over two decades that he can make the play when it counts. But I would be surprised if this was anything close to what we saw back in Foxborough in week three.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, it's such a short period of time has gone by. You guys get your first win, so I'm sure everybody was happy. But now, is there actual realistic hope that somehow the Jets can salvage their season based on what they did last week against Dallas?
Well, there's hope that the schedule lightens up. And I think that Jets fans knew all along when the schedule came out that the first 6 weeks were going to be pretty rough on paper, regardless of whether Darnold was under center for all six games or not. But then after that, you know, you do have not a layup in Jacksonville next week, but clearly a winnable game. And then it really lightens up. You've got a couple games against Miami, Cincinnati, Oakland. These are games that if Sam Darnold is healthy, I think the Jets can win. Maybe not all of them, but certainly be getting a lion's share of their victories over these last 10 games. So I think there's a lot of wins out there for this team. I don't think they're going to make the postseason, but clearly I think they're better than what they've shown to this point.
All right, Manish, I'm going to ask you to update your April 26th tweet about your AFC quarterback rankings. When you had Darnold 1, Brady 2, Rosen and Allen at 4. Any changes to this tweet? Is Tom Brady still sitting behind Sam Darnold?
Well, let me preface this by saying that those rankings were what I thought the quarterback pecking order would be at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And look, got 10, 11 games left. Tom Brady has played 6 games, so Sam Darnold's only played 2 games. In one of those games, he was actually sick. So it's hard to kind of still judge that. Obviously, if you're looking at who has been the best to this point, Tom Brady would be 1. You can make a reasonable case that Josh Allen would be 2, only because Sam Darnold's only played twice. But I think that Sam Darnold is far and away a better player than Josh Allen, and that'll be proven over time. And then, you know, the Miami guys obviously bring up the rear. But in that initial ranking, I don't think that Josh Allen is going to be proven to be the worst of the 4 quarterbacks in the division when the season's over.
All right, Manish, I've been saying this all week. I think this is a competitive game. Here's the one issue I have when you're looking at the line you were talking about. I don't understand how the hell the Jets are going to score other than, you know, 6 points, maybe 10. Now, I would think the Patriots are going to have difficulty scoring against the Jets, but the Patriots have always done a pretty good job against Le'Veon Bell. They seem to understand that little slide, freeze step, or whatever he takes, and they pick up on him. Robbie Anderson is going to be shadowed by Gilmore. It's going to be man coverage. How do they put points up on the board? And therefore, maybe the 10-point line makes some sense if the Jets can't score.
Well, I don't think either team is going to be able to score a lot. It's going to be a low-scoring game. And that, to me, makes the 9-10-point line even more outrageous, because if the final score is going to be like 20 points for the winner or 23 points, you know, a 10-point line seems kind of out of whack. Look, we can talk about Sam Darnold against Belichick and against the Patriot defense all day long, but this is really going to come down to whether the Jets defense can get to Brady. And you guys have seen what has happened these past 2 games. The Redskins and the Giants have hit Brady a lot more than he had been hit on those first 4 games. I think he's been hit 15 times, sacked 7 times the last couple games. That's going to be the recipe and the blueprint for the Jets. They need to get past this, you know, shaky, I guess, offensive line that New England has and get to Brady. And if they can force some turnovers and have short fields, that's how they're going to win. They're going to be short fields.
We all agree with you, and Brady is less likely to turn the ball over than Sam Darnold is against this defense. So if you look at it, even the numbers with the Patriots defense has been deceiving, because you look at the number of points scored against them, and the offense has given up those points. This defense usually scores points. That's where I'm telling you, the defense alone might score 10 points in this game tonight.
Yeah, that's going to be a big challenge, and that's primarily because of the Jet offensive line. Darnold can mask a lot of deficiencies that this offense has, a lot of the holes on offense, specifically up front, and they're going to reshuffle their offensive line again. Looks like they're going to have a rookie left tackle, because their starting left tackle, Kevin Beachum, is going to be out with an ankle injury. So that is going to be tough for Sam Darnold to cover up for all the mistakes that are around him. He did a great job, I thought, against the Cowboys last week. The Jets' best chance on offense is really to have their guys win their man-to-man matchups. You guys know the Patriots play a lot of man coverage. It'll be incumbent upon Gase to dial up a lot of man beaters, and so guys like Demaryius Thomas and Jameson Crowder are going to have to win their one-on-one matchups, because, you know, as you touched on a minute ago, I don't think that Robbie Anderson is going to get the best of Stephon Gilmore. I've never seen evidence of that, so I'm going to chalk that up to a win for New England. But guys like Crowder and Thomas and even Bell out of the backfield have to win their matchups.
So I feel like there's a lot of optimism in New York after such a terrible start, lots of crappy quarterbacks. So I'm curious to know if you could look into the future and tell me, Sam Darnold, the best-case scenario for him would be what quarterback in the NFL, but not Brady. If everything goes the way it should go, whose career would Sam Darnold's look like in the NFL right now, other than Brady?
That's a great question. Before he retired, I probably would have said Andrew Luck, just because he's got an ability to use his feet to escape pressure, kind of lift the lesser players around him. A pie in the sky Jet fan will say Aaron Rodgers. I'm not going to say Aaron Rodgers, because there's only one Aaron Rodgers. He's one of the, in my mind, he's going to go down as one of the, top 7 or 8 quarterbacks in the history of the game. I think a more reasonable comp would be a guy like Phillip Rivers, Matt Ryan, just from a skill set standpoint. He's not the same type of player, but both those guys have had.
What if I said Andy Dalton is his ceiling? Would you still be as optimistic about your guys' chances in the future? Because I feel like that's who he is. Which is not a it's not a sign of disrespect, I just feel like it's Andy Dalton's been in the league forever. You should be happy about that.
Yeah, I don't think he's anywhere close to what Andy Dalton in terms of crapness will be in the league. I think that he's a much better player than that. He's only 22 years old, guys.
That's an insult.
That's not an insult.
Hold on a second.
That's an insult. That is not a backhanded insult. The guy's a pro. He's been in the league forever. I mean, he's been in some big games. Now, I would say the franchise.
He hasn't won a single playoff game. What do you
mean? Well, I think that's realistic. You're saying Andrew Luck, and I'm not saying that's much of an upgrade either.
I would say that if you have watched Sam Darnold play every snap of his career, the good and the bad, there's no possible way that you could say that a reasonable comp would be Andy Dalton.
That's what I'm calling for. All right, Ryan Tannehill.
Ryan Tannehill is a converted wide receiver, so I don't think that that's a good comp either.
Manish, I read your article with the interview with Demaryius Thomas. I thought it was nice little shots at the dynasty itself. But when you said that they lied to him, I would say the situation changed. So I would ask you, would you rather have Antonio Brown on your team or Demaryius Thomas?
In hindsight, clearly Demaryius Thomas, because nobody wants Antonio Brown.
Well, at the time.
Well, in a vacuum, Antonio Brown is a better player.
Yeah, how do you say no to that?
Well, because you have to realize that Antonio Brown comes with a lot of other things than catching passes, and that came to fruition pretty quickly, and that's why the Patriots cut him.
Did you sense that Demaryius, because I kind of get the sense that, you know, he felt like he kind of got done dirty a little bit, but still kind of, I think, respected. I don't know, the organization. Is this a revenge type of game for him?
Well, look, you guys know Demaryius Thomas. I know he's only been around for a few months, but this is a guy with a spotless resume. He's got an incredible reputation. I think part of the reason why Belichick even responded the way that he responded is because of the respect level that he has for Thomas. You know, most times you don't hear Belichick, you know, even delve into topics like this or brush it off. I didn't sense any anger at all when I talked to Demaryius. Pretty matter of fact about it. He does respect the organization. He credited them for, you know, their fast start as well. But I think if you're a 5-time Pro Bowler and you're getting cut at the end of the preseason, and the team says, "Hey, sit tight. We're bringing you back. You're part of our plans for the season." And you do that as opposed to exploring other options, and then they bring you back and trade you a week later. I think you have a right to be upset. He's a big boy, but he is a prideful guy. He's a guy who's been in a lot of big games in his career, and he did commend the organization for helping him rehab from his Achilles. So, there wasn't any spite or malice, at least in the tone of the conversation. All that being said, would he like to stick it to the Patriots tonight? Absolutely. He's a competitor.
I was just going to ask you. Sure. Was he pissed or not? Because the story in the column, and I get what you're doing, it read as if he were pissed. And that may be some, and not necessarily all the quotes, but some of the stuff around the quotes from you.
Yeah.
He was pissed.
He wasn't animated about it. So that when I say there wasn't anger in his voice, I didn't feel like, you know, he wanted to go and throw Belichick through a wall. I just think that, like I said before, he was very matter-of-fact about it. He felt that he got screwed. He conveyed that pretty clearly and calmly to me, but I don't think, you know, even though he clearly respects Josh McDaniels and Tom Brady, made that clear when I spoke to him, that he really enjoyed his time with Brady, and he has that history, of course, with Josh McDaniels drafting him back in Denver. All that being said, I think if you're a competitor, you can compartmentalize all of that and say, yeah, I respect them. I'm not necessarily angry at them, but I would really like to light them up tonight.
All right, you mentioned Beecham has got a problem. What's going on with Osamele? Two doctors said he needs shoulder surgery, and there's a report out in Bleacher Report that the Jets have been attempting to delay surgery by sending blank and incorrect MRI images to doctors, even going as far as refusing to release workers' comp forms. What?
So this is what I'll say. I have not gotten information at all suggesting that the Jets medical staff is not, you know, presenting MRIs or presenting blank MRIs. I have not heard that. My information
shady.
Is that
Jets are shady.
Here's my information. The second opinion from the doctor I thought was a reasonable one, which is that, yes, surgery can be delayed after the season if the player can play through whatever discomfort or pain that he has. However, if symptoms indicate that he is in enough pain, that he should have the surgery now. And here's the thing. Neither the Jets nor Adam Gase nor Joe Douglas or any Jets fan or anybody other than Kelechi Osemele knows how much pain he is in. So I have always erred on the side of the player in these instances. Now, is he upset that he lost his starting job? Of course he is. Could that be a contributing factor as to why he wants to have the surgery now versus waiting 3 months from now? Perhaps. However, when a player comes out publicly and says that he's in pain and he's tried everything he can to no longer be in pain, I take him at his word. In fact, the Jets gave him pain medication before every game for that shoulder injury. So, you know, maybe he's not highly motivated because he's a backup now. I don't know. And frankly, I don't think that matters. The notion that the Jets would not make their position clear, they didn't release any statement. I personally reached out to them 12 times and without any response. They did not make anything public. However, they did have a PR official behind the scenes disparage this player, who's currently a member of the Jets. I just think that's an inept, a spiteful, and a sloppy way of doing business. And typically, that's what you see out of poorly run organizations. You know, the bad organizations are bad for a reason. They created a PR disaster and a PR mess when there didn't need to be one.
Point.
So, we know where the player stands, right? We know where the agent stands. Both of those sides, whether you agree or not, they've made their positions public and clear. The Jets, however, have decided to kind of take an underhanded route in this situation, which is disappointing.
That seems amazing, sending blank and incorrect MRI images to doctors. I don't think that's a place Trent Williams might want to go to now, after what happened to him in Washington.
Yeah, look, my gut feeling is that that didn't actually happen. I don't believe that happened. Right. However, they have not signed off on the workman's compensation. That is accurate, because in order to have surgery, you have to go through those efforts before the team kind of takes care of that through their insurance.
All right, give us the final score before we let you go.
I think it's going to be a tight game, low scoring, as I said. Ultimately, it pains me to say this because I've counted Tom Brady
out. Pick the Jets.
I think it's going to be something like 2017 New England. I think that Brady and likely Edelman will make some kind of play in the fourth quarter to set them up to win.
I think you have too many points in this game. I'm not sure we're going to get that many points. One final thing. Are you laughing about this whole Brady thing?
Yes.
Get the kick out of it. Yeah.
You think it was a shot towards Kraft?
I believe him. I don't think it's a shot towards Kraft. Maybe I'm being naive. My understanding all these years from afar has been that he's got a great relationship with the owner. So I think that this is maybe a case of where the producers kind of screwed Brady here.
Yep.
Just my reading of it.
It's mine too. Right. Manish, always great talking to you. Have a good one. Enjoy the game.
Thanks, guys.
See you later. Manish Mehta of the New York Daily News.
And the Andy Dalton-led New York Jets. That's a comp. That's here. The hope is
but
you're
that's
Matt
not
Ryan.
A compliment. It
the
was reality, almost as if you were throwing it to him like it was a compliment.
No. But I want the reality is Andy Dalton. If he played on a different team, is Philip Rivers a compliment? The guy's never won anything. He's failed. You see that game the other day? He's failed in every big-time championship game that he's ever played in.
A little trouble getting goal line.
So Andy Dalton is a serviceable, long-time, have-your-number-retired-at-your-stadium comp for the New York Jets.
I would have to say Dalton's in that,
middle of the
average
road.
Slightly above-average quarterback.
Yeah. At times.
Right. At times, yeah. I mean, he's not great. Obviously, hasn't won the postseason. I get it, but he's not an absolute train wreck.
Nope.
He's played in the league
you
a long
trust
time.
Him.
30, still 32, 33 years old.
He's had a lot of talent. Good.
And
that
that's
team.
A win.
Over the years, a lot
if
of talent.
You draft Sam Darnold and he plays 12 years for your team, is that not a win?
No, I don't think that's good enough for the Jets. Because the
well,
Jets
again, but look at all the other guys. Look at Josh Rosen.
You need a better quarterback than that. You know, you do.
Well, listen, Tom Brady is off limits. Okay, you're not going to get the next Tom Brady. So what pool are you fishing in? Are you fishing in the Matt Ryan, Cam Newton
no,
pool?
No, you're right. At this point, if you think about all these teams with quarterback problems in the past, nobody lasts more than 3 years. Nobody. Right?
They don't see a second
first
contract.
First year, there's promise. Year two, he didn't take the leap. Year three, we expect big things. He goes backwards. Year four, he's gone.
Yeah, Carson Wentz is awesome. Let's give him the keys to the car.
So, I mean, if you get a guy that can play in this league for 10 years as your quarterback, that's a win.
I don't know. I'm looking at three quarterbacks in the league right now that Bill Belichick drafted, and they're now 16-2. We'll get into some details coming up next right here on OMF.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Four. four touchdowns. He outplayed Deshaun Watson. Heck, I think he's the best quarterback in the AFC right now.
What a catch by Eric Ebron.
Okay. That's the AFC?
Brett is
who's
not...
outplaying him right okay. now, Mike? Tell me who's outplaying
him. Tom plays tomorrow night. Back up.
All right, that's Rodney Harrison actually saying Jacoby Brissett right now is the best quarterback in the AFC.
Well,
talking about
playing the best.
Right. Talking about, you know, just looking at what you have just seen. And he was terrific in this game yesterday. But they really relied on the running game up until this. So that was the best game Brissett has played. They couldn't run. They were awful running. 62 yards. That was it. And I think Mac had 44 or something like that, 42. So they needed him to throw the ball, 26 of 39, 326 yards, four touchdowns, no interceptions, passing rating of 126.7.
He's playing great. In the year, he's got 14 touchdowns, three picks.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's safe to say they won that trade.
The Colts.
Yeah.
Yes. The Colts have, think about where they were a couple years ago with McDaniels kind of dissing them at the altar, just basically leaving the scene of the crime. They go to Frank Wright.
I go back.
And then Andrew Luck leaves at the beginning of the season.
And that's my point.
And they're in the mix now.
And I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where they're going to be, right? I know they're like the flavor of the week. Changes every week as far as the Pats competition. But I will say, last year when we started talking about the Colts being a threat, you know, moving forward, it had more to do with their roster surrounding
their defense.
Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Their offensive line, they spent a lot of assets on. Drafts, defensively, same thing. They got the kid Leonard, rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year. Yep. I mean, they improved their defense, their defensive line, their offensive line.
Yep.
They improved everywhere around Andrew Luck.
Yeah, but once
he
was out.
And then when he went down, we said, but I'm just saying, we forgot that they're a good football team. And Brissett is having a great year.
Yeah.
I mean, he is.
I think he's been okay because they really have excelled. They beat Kansas City by running the snot out of the ball. And he didn't have that much to do with it. But I agree that...
Not in that game, but that's the only game he didn't have much to do
with. Well, watching him yesterday, it was a much different game.
I just feel like there's... he's been the biggest surprise for me.
Yeah.
When I heard that Andrew Luck had left and then they paid him this all this money, I was like, wow, they're downgrading. I feel like that was a desperate move by a team that didn't have, that was surprised by the fact that the quarterback decided to quit, and they were in a desperate mode, and they didn't want to have to start all over. But they obviously knew a lot more than any of us because they believed in him from the very beginning. And then I would say if that's all he has to do, that's enough.
Well, he's been better than Jimmy Garoppolo. So Jimmy Garoppolo, Brissett, and Tom Brady combined are 16-2, all New England draft picks. But Jimmy Garoppolo really has relied on his defense to carry him, and to a lesser extent, Brady has done the same thing. His defense has really been much better than his offense.
Yeah, and actually, I don't even know if we want to get to this right now, but Brady even talked about that with Randy Moss because he went into basically, you know, it's the whole, you know, Monday night sit-down. Ryan, I don't know if you can grab this, where he actually, they talk about the season, talk about a lot of things, but specifically what's made this year be what it is so far.
We met at the prime, you know, of our careers, and you know, we made some great things happen.
That's not it. That's okay.
Okay, so anyway, he talks about.
Let's not get mad. Let's all keep it together.
He talks about the defense. He talks about the defense, and he basically says that it's amazing just watching his defense. I think he knows, and it's pretty obvious in the cut. He's not crazy about the offense.
The success that you all had, you know, this year, undefeated in the AFC. Yeah. You know, give me one reason why you guys have been successful this season.
Yeah, well, I think it's one word, defense. You know, I think it's been about the defense and what those guys have been able to do. And we kind of sit on the sideline and I watch it. I'm like, this is unbelievable.
Right.
I mean, we're getting the ball. We're getting turnovers. Those are sacking the quarterback, good field position. I think there's definitely frustrations that I feel, you know, because we're not excelling.
Right.
But I also think it's important to have, you know, reasonable expectations for what, you know, we should accomplish. So the fact that we're 6-0, I'm happy about that. You know, I love the fact that we are 6-0, but, you know, I want us to be better too.
Reasonable? What's reasonable?
Reasonable expectations.
What is reasonable?
So, one, he's admitting that obviously it's fun to watch when you, it's almost like he's on the other side. He's basically what the defense used to be.
Yeah.
When the defense just sit there and watch that offense go up and down the field, do all sorts of crazy things, third down completions, you name it, they get it done, big catches, just unbelievable plays. Now he's on the sideline, and it's the defense that is keeping him in game. And he says, listen, reasonable expectations. Guys, the ceiling is lower. Keep bringing it down. See, this lower, is, yeah, lower.
And this is why we you know, you talk about the offense. And you know, the preemptive strike after they went 6-0 of, oh, tomorrow everyone's going to be so upset about team being 6-0. Your quarterback is the one that expresses the frustration about this offense. And you could sit there and say that they're the number one offense in all of football. Well, if you look at just offensive points, they're still good. Yep. They're fifth. Yep. Now, if you look at the last 3 weeks, and that's against, admittedly, a very good Buffalo defense, but an awful Washington Redskins defense and an awful New York Giants defense, they're 18th the last 3 weeks. So, 18th. So, this is what we've been seeing the last 3 weeks. You know, and this is, your own quarterback is frustrated. Reasonable expectations. We're not a great offense. It's been a while since I've been in something like this, but we're not a great offense.
So I'll say the same thing we've been saying the last few weeks. When are they going to pay the price for being that offense? Because I don't see it on the schedule. Now, Baltimore is an example. Baltimore's reputation, history is great defense, offense, so-so. Their offense is it. Matter of fact, a quarterback that is multi-skilled, that he can run and put 100 yards on his own on the board.
Well, he is quick.
Is the key. Because defensively, I think the team that's going to beat the New England Patriots is going to be a team that's defensive-minded. Hate to bring up Buffalo, but Buffalo gave them the roughest time so far because they can shut down the offense. But you tell me, I think New England is going to be okay against Baltimore because I don't think Lamar Jackson is going to be able to do what
you've
seen him do.
I disagree. I think it's the other way around.
What that was?
I think years past, it used to be a defensive-minded team. Because when they slapped Brady in the mouth, the team was just like, what are we doing? We used to go. We used to jumping on teams 10-0. You know, 14-3. Like, what? Oh, my God, we're in a game. I think it's the other way around. I think you got to have a good offense and just sort of slap this defense in the mouth. And that will be like, whoa, what is going on? There's a team that's actually going up and down the field.
I don't think that's
so. Now
exists.
It's up to Brady to sit there and say, okay, now we got to score. So I just think in years past, I would agree. We've always said great defenses, right? Rattle Tom Brady, and it doesn't look right. I think if you rattle this defense, that's when it won't look.
See, that is right. That is where my biggest fear. That's where I think the Patriots or any fans of the Patriots should be. The fact that Lamar Jackson is so unbelievably dangerous. At any moment, I mean, he is a powder keg of impact when it comes to just, hey, I think I know how fast he is, bam, then he goes around the corner.
But he's unpredictable, hey, that's the thing.
It's okay, yeah. That's okay, but he's got a good support group as far as the talent around him. He's actually pretty, you know, safe with the football. And the best thing about Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, if you're worried about him, is that they get an opportunity to play him. I think it's kind of like, when people play against Tyreek Hill,
yeah,
they play against Tyreek Hill, they go, holy crap, we knew he was fast, but oh my God, he's 10 times faster than we thought. Yeah, that angle I thought I could get him, nope, he runs right by me. So the fact that you're able to play against the Baltimore Ravens, get an idea of what he's like, what he's capable of doing, how fast he really is, to me, that is the key. Not to bring up an old college quarterback, but Johnny Manziel deceived every SEC team the first time he played him because all of them underestimated his speed. And how quick he was and his ability to get out of jams. And so they disregarded it. The second time they played him, the second year, he had no ability whatsoever. Everybody right. had figured him out. The fact that they're playing Lamar Jackson the first time is such an asset to them, I can't even explain it. Just like if they would have played Colin Kaepernick twice. The first time they played him when he was good, he ran all over him.
Yeah.
If they would have played him again, they would have more answers, better discipline, and they would have believed everything that the coaches were telling
them. Yeah, that's a good point because – He's like that Tyreek Hill. Man, I knew he was fast, but I didn't think he was this fast.
Right.
You watch him get out of a couple of runs where you thought the guy was about to clip him. Next thing you know, he just outran him. And that was that one big run he had for like 20, 25 yards. And he's just all over the field. And you're like, Jesus, this kid can fly.
Yeah, I think we're going to be faced, though, eventually, we'll see, by a defensive team that can keep this team down to 7-10 points. And that may be where they
run into
trouble.
If they don't have a good offense, you do your thing. You know what I mean? It's like the Patriots years past of playing a team with a bad defense or something. And you just were like, okay, we're going to score 35. Like, that's their rhythm. That's where their comfort zone is. We'll make enough plays. Give the ball to Brady. We're good. Right now, Brady's like, don't turn the ball over. Whatever. Field position. We're good. Give it to the defense. And all of a sudden, Lamar Jackson goes right down at 7-0. Uh-oh.
Yeah, see, I
uh-oh.
Think...
So I just think the roles are reversed of what we're accustomed to looking at the team that can beat the Patriots.
I don't...
I think it's an offensive team.
I think it's a defensive team, and I think they end up losing somewhere along the road, like 13-10 or something like that. You get into
but
one of those
say,
type of games.
When you say pay the price,
right?
It's a postseason. They're not going to pay the price in a regular season,
well,
so they
see,
drop two
yeah.
or three games. Okay, no. fine. They still probably get a number one seed, or at least a number two seed, whatever. But it'll be
well, I'm
the
talking
postseason.
About losing a game. I'm yeah. talking about losing a game. In fact, well. Baltimore does not scare me as much. They don't because their defense sucks.
You don't give them a. They don't give them credit for that. I would call that a statement win.
Marcus Peters,
yeah. a statement
yeah.
win.
Yeah, that
in
helps.
Seattle.
Marcus Peters helps, and
yeah,
he had a big play.
So.
He had a big play for them yesterday
yeah,
in the game.
He helps.
Yeah, I still don't think their defense. I. It's one of those where I think you can score enough. I think with Brady, you can score enough against those teams. Eventually, obviously, you talk about the postseason. You look at a team like New Orleans that may be good on both sides of the ball. By the time they get Drew Brees back, they're going to be good
NFC
on both sides of the ball.
Listen, we don't. Here's right. the thing: don't. Who cares about the NFC?
I'm a good.
Let
them.
Let
them.
Let them go ahead and let them all just kind of shine like crazy. Then
you only
get two.
You only get one
prep.
Of them. You only get
yeah,
one.
Yeah. So what? Yeah. So and who
let
knows?
Let them kill each other off.
Yeah. Fine.
Right.
The biggest issue is, and as far as I don't think Jacoby Brissett. I think they would have an answer for Jacoby.
Yeah,
I think they know him pretty well.
I think so.
Okay. I think they and they can stop. They have the ability to stop the run. Now, Jacoby, you got to beat us.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Mike Lombardi told us the other day, Will Fuller is the key to what Houston does, right? That's what he said on the show Friday. He's injured again, right?
Injured, like injured out?
Maybe out for a while.
Because that's one injury. And the other injury, if you're a Kansas City fan, if you're nervous about them, it looks like Patrick Mahomes got the best news possible with his MRI that he's not going to be out the max, which would be 6 weeks. It looks like more like it's going to be three.
I still want to see this thing play out. When you look at what he does.
I agree.
I think they're being optimistic. Yeah.
But I'm not buying it. Dislocated
if he
kneecap?
Were, if he were a pocket quarterback, sat back there like Mark Sanchez was talking
about. Joe Flacco.
Maybe.
He could be Joe Flacco.
He could be Joe Flacco.
But, I mean, do you believe in the Colts?
I think you got to believe in them right now,
they're playing, don't you?
But I'm just saying, because it was, you know, Kansas City, they're the biggest threat. Some people have the best team in the AFC. They lose two games at home. Then they lose Mahomes for some weeks. They're no longer it. Now it's Houston. Houston's the best team. Watch out for Houston and Deshaun Watson. So then Indy beats them. Ah, and Baltimore goes to Seattle with an impressive win. Ah, it's Baltimore and Indy. They're the best teams in the AFC. They're going to give the Patriots. And then you know what? Next week,
Jacksonville,
I don't know who the hell it's going to be.
Other, yeah, Minshew can really
every
control.
Week it's different.
Yeah, it's going to be like that way, I think, to the rest of the season. And then eventually, if Kansas City, if Mahomes is totally healthy by the playoffs, then they're back as the biggest threat, correct? All right, we got another hour to go. We'll go 30 minutes commercial free coming up next.